Everyone, thank you for coming to Cam Girl Diaries podcast. Today on the podcast, we're doing something a little bit different. I have Matt. He's a former Chatterbait cam boy, as well as a porn star, would we say?
If I'm qualified enough.
How are you today?
I'm doing all right. Yeah.
Awesome. So we generally just talk to cam girls. So you think you bring something a little bit different to the table, correct?
Yeah, I think that my perspective is a bit different than most cam girls. Yeah, being a cam boy is significantly different.
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually friends with a couple broadcasters and totally different. Totally,
Yeah.
completely different. Yeah. So tell me, how did you get started into camming?
Interesting. The first time I ever heard of Chatterbait was whenever I used to be in a band. Well, I used to be a drummer that was hired by bands to play for them when they were on tour. And this particular band was like broke. And as a joke, they were just like, what if we all just got in the back of the van with a webcam, went on Chatterbait, just started jerking each other off to make some money for a hotel.
Nice.
And I was like, what the fuck is Chatterbait? And I'd never heard of it. And then they basically explained to me what it was. Fast forward, like, I don't know, 7 years or so. I'm married. My wife is a doctor of physical therapy. We're living on the West Coast after having only moved here for like 2 months, I think, if that. And then I don't know, like it was right before the pandemic, but it wasn't because of the pandemic. It was just because we had moved a bunch of times. Like we had moved from one place in Connecticut to another, and then from Connecticut to Oregon,
right,
and then from one place in Oregon to another. And we had accumulated a lot of debt. And as a joke I made on Facebook, I said, like, I Googled how to sell an organ on the black market. And I just copied the search results and put it on Facebook as a joke. And I said, desperate times call for desperate measures, right? And then a friend of mine made a comment and she said, don't do that. You should go on Chatterbait because my boyfriend and I made like $50 for him to stick his dick in my armpit. And I was like, all right, that sounds odd, but like, fucking, I'm not here to shame anyone. I don't yuck anyone's yum, but like $50, I'll take $50 and stick my dick in my girlfriend's arm, my wife's armpit. So I brought it up to her and she was kind of like, I don't know, I've never heard of this before. And I was like, you know, we've had about $10,000 in debt. And I was like, you know, it's something that could be fun for both of us to experiment with our sexuality. We can spend more time together and we can make a few extra bucks and maybe we'll pay off this like $10,000 debt in the next year or so, and it won't be like looming over us.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, she was like, all right, sure, let's give it a try. So we set up an account and it didn't take us a year to pay off that 10 grand. It took us, I think like maybe 2 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was much faster than we thought.
Yeah, that's real fast. That's really
yeah.
Good.
Oh yeah. And it didn't, and it just didn't stop. So we just never stopped as well. And then she got laid off from her job, during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just like full send, let's go, let's do this. And then, yeah. And the rest is history kind of.
That's awesome. So you've been all over the place. I used to cam on a couple's account and you'd make a lot more than single, a lot more. It's really good. So
yeah.
What do you like about camming? Like, what's the best thing about Chatterbait that you liked when you were on there?
Yeah, immediately it was like full of like adrenaline and validation. It felt like at the time, at least.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'll just say this. Like, I have a different perspective to Chatterbait and the website now than I did when I first started. But when I first started, I was so excited. Like, I couldn't have been more excited about something. Like, yeah, I don't know. I just felt insane. Like the amount of money that we were making felt insane. I felt like a celebrity, like immediately. I felt like we were just growing and growing and we had regulars and yeah, you kind of feel like a celebrity a little bit. And then you get like, and then you get paid like really well if you're doing it well enough. And that just like gets you high because like you're literally, if you're doing it the way that me and my wife did, you're literally like making money for fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, great. I don't know if you've seen any of those like porn scenarios where they're just like, you like sex, you like money, well, why don't you come fuck us? And it's like, it's legit. You know what I mean? Like it's like, you're getting like this double high because you're like already getting all these chemicals released in your brain from the sex. And then you're getting more chemicals released in your brain from this, like from all the applaud. you know, and then you're getting like triple chemicals in your brain from like all this money, you know, and then you're getting this like Pavlovian response to sounds and sights. And then your body starts to like create a Pavlovian response that you don't even get to like control anymore. And so there's almost like without hearing that like ding goosh sounds that you get from chatterbait, like you almost are just like, or like for what, you know? And that's kind of what's starting to happen.
Yeah, the ultimate high, like you can't go any higher than that, especially when the money comes in. I mean, that's perfect. It really is. Did you, when you were doing that, did you ever like get desensitized from like having like sex off cam with your wife?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. Honestly, like I felt desensitized like immediately. It was within our first week of camming, and like me and my wife shared some like kind of kinky fun things that I tried to like, probably one of our first, it wasn't our first, but maybe our second or third stream. And I tried to like kind of bring a little bit of our like kinkiness onto stream. And someone, we couldn't have even had 1,000 followers at the time. Like we were so young, and whoever was in our room, no one in our room was cool yet. You know what I mean? We didn't have like mods or anyone looking out for us. It was just like freaking nobodies. And I didn't know how to value whose word, you know, and I didn't know like, oh, the dark purple people, if they say something, go for it. If the gray people say something, don't give a fuck. But nevertheless, someone said they were just like, ew, hard pass, or like, ew, no. And I felt like immediately just like ashamed. I was just like, God, that eliminated it from our sex lives, period. I never, that would just like crucified it on the spot. Dead forever. I never brought it up or anything. After that, I was just like, it was gone.
I know, you're blurry.
I know. I don't know what's going on. I'll have to scrub that out. Let me try to fix it real quick.
Yeah, that's okay. You can fix your focus if you need to.
I bought this new Logitech camera. I was so excited to buy it. You know, it's great. It's the C920. It's one for streaming.
But you're like head out of frame real quick, like this, and then like pull it back maybe.
I'm gonna go down, see the app, because when you buy one of these cameras, they don't tell you there's a setting on it where you have to like download an app and update it all the time. It's really annoying. I know,
that is annoying.
I wanted to get, did you see that new, I don't know if you saw, but that new Lovins webcam they have? Have you seen that?
No, I didn't know Lovins had their own webcamming app now.
Oh, it's like $500, and it sits on top of your computer and it moves with you. It's AI, whatever. So when you move, it moves with you. It's great.
That's cool. Oh yeah, I know that there's a bunch of people that make something like that, but I didn't know Lovins was getting into that. That's cool. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's really cool. I don't know a lot of girls that use it yet, but it looks pretty cool.
But to finish my thought on that being desensitized, like I remember one of our first like fuck shows or whatever that we did on Chatterbait. And I literally like couldn't get it up for my own wife. Like I had to like, we had to sit there and like watch porn. Like I couldn't like fuck her. Like there was nothing she could do to like get, it was the most insane, like weird. And not that that's insane. People can watch porn while they fuck their partner all day long. I don't care about that. That's fine. It kind of was hot, not gonna lie, but it was just shocking because it was like, it felt like it was like, I don't know what to like it. If we weren't live and we were just like hanging out, there would have been no pressure to fuck, but someone just, a bunch of people just gave us a bunch of money. So now all of a sudden we felt like we owed them however much dollars worth of our intimacy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, we have to follow through. It almost felt like, not that it maybe just was our interpretation of the situation, but it kind of felt like a loan shark or like some kind of thug that was just like, I fucking gave you the money. Now you give me that sex.
That's crazy because, I can tell you, that's exactly the way I felt. That's why me and my ex broke up. We started the couples account first and I couldn't fuck him anymore. It was getting everything real weird and I couldn't do it anymore. It was crazy. And I never thought it would happen. Never. And ultimately, my relationship, like I just couldn't, I didn't look at him the same anymore, you know?
I don't know if that was probably easily, arguably the first step to a lot of things that got us to where we were. But the last 2 years, let's say 2020, between 2021 and 2022, my wife, ex-wife now, at the time, I think between those 2 years, I think we had sex like 4 to 6 times, maybe max. Like I can remember 4 in 2 years.
Yeah. Crazy.
And we started in our 2020. We started the account December 2019. We started camming January 2020. So by January 2022, that was our last show.
Yep.
And during our last year of camming, we didn't do a whole lot of couples stuff. Like it went from being just couples, just us, just the two of us. Mm-hmm. And like I said, she was a practicing doctor of physical therapy at the time. Mm-hmm. So she would come home from work and then she would shower mm-hmm. while I was making dinner. And while she was in the shower, she would be like kind of warming up the crowd on Chatterbait. And then she would, and then I would kind of join her.
Yeah.
And then we would eat together on, because like we had to eat, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of time. So like, and because she was a doctor, so she had to be up in the morning to work.
Yeah.
So like we would eat on camera. We would do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, go to bed. She would have to wake up, work a 9-hour day as a doctor, come home and do that again. And then whenever she got laid off, I started working at a pot shop as a bud tender, and our schedule became like the opposite then. So like she would be at home during the day and she'd be like warming up the crowd while I was working at this pot shop for like 4 hours to 6 hours sometimes. And she wouldn't be on the whole time, obviously. So maybe like 2 or 3 hours she'd be on. But then I would get home from work and I would join her after she had been on for a little bit, kind of like getting things together. But as we were going and going and going, and we started to realize like, okay, in the like 3 hours that you're on by yourself, you make X amount of money. Mm-hmm. And then on the 3 hours that we are on together, we make X amount of money. But the amount of money that it takes you to make, like it took her less time to make the same amount of money by herself.
Really?
You know what I mean? So like if it took us like 4 hours to make $500 together, it would take her like 2 hours to make $500 by herself. So we were like, if the name of the game is exchange as little time as possible for as much money as possible, you should do more stuff by yourself. And if people are seemingly losing interest in our couples routine, which it kind of felt like they were, you know, like, cause we weren't trying to like go beyond what we liked to do. Like we tried like anal and some other things that we were just like, okay, we did it for the money and we tried it and we can say that it's not, we're not into it. But like, if we just did if we were little sex monkeys for people, like we probably would have retained more people's interests or whatever, but yeah. We just were like more like we're gonna do what we like.
Yeah, that's and how so, it should be. You know, it should
right? But yeah. Then people inevitably will lose interest.
Yeah, they do.
Or you have to like get new people, and so that's why, you know, we started working. We worked with Jack and Jill once. They're this like cam. I don't know. They're like a conveyor belt of just cam girls. They're just like, they have like 3 or 4 different girls every weekend.
Yeah.
For the last like 5 or 6 years.
How was that?
It's so weird to like talk about it because like everything was my suggestion,
mm-hmm.
you know? So like and I've talked to a lot of people about this and they're like, you can't like blame yourself or whatever, but to an extent, it's like she never heard the words Chatterbait until I brought it into our home.
Mm-hmm.
She, per my suggestion, started doing stuff on her own. You know, I was the one that said like, hey, check out this couple. They have different people on all the time. Maybe we can be one of those people. And we can make some more money working with them and we'll make some more exposure working with them.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good for us. And so I was the one that initiated that and suggested it, but it was shocking. A little bit. It was, I'm not gonna lie, I was traumatized from working with them. I don't know. I'm kind of the type of person that would just take responsibility for everything that I feel no matter what. Like if someone came and punched me in the face, I'd probably be like, I deserved that. Like I probably should have like used your dishes without asking or whatever. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. So I have a hard time like accepting that, like I have a hard time just being like, oh, they probably shouldn't have done that, or they should have said that, or they should have done anything different. I always look at those situations as like, that's how I would do something different. But it was shocking and traumatizing, and I wasn't really prepared for it. aside from all the things that I wish just went differently with our like interactions, mm-hmm. Seeing like 30,000 people in a chat room pay you like, I don't know, I think we made like 15 or 17 grand that weekend.
Oh my
like,
God.
In two streams. We only did two streams. And in two streams, we made like 17 grand. And that amount of money was like, I'm like shaking right now even talking about it, because I'm just like, oh, like it felt like we got away with something that we shouldn't have. And aside from all the morals and things that I was taught as a kid that I like, that whether or not I agree with it or dismiss all those things, whatever, like, mm-hmm. aside from all that imprint, you know what I mean? Because you're still imprinted, whether or not you like agree with the morals that you're taught as a kid, if you were religious like I was.
Right.
Might not agree with it to this day, but you still are like imprinted, you know, like you still have that feeling of like, oh my God, God is watching. God hated this.
Exactly.
You know, and you're like, your body still holds that feeling of being like, I'm caught. They know, I'm sorry. You know? Mm-hmm. And so like, aside from all of that, it was weird. It was shocking to my wife and I. I remember we had like this like conversation. We got an Airbnb in Tahoe, and that's where we like camped with them, because they didn't want us to come to their house at first.
Right.
They would later invite us to their house. So, and this was also, it was weird. Our first time camping with them was my wife and I's anniversary, our wedding anniversary. And people were like, wow, that's a weird way to spend it. We're like, that's just the way we are. And, and then we did it again with them on Valentine's Day the following year. So like, it was like November of 1 year we camped mm-hmm. with them, and then the following February we did Valentine's Day, and that we did at their house. But, yeah, I don't know. It felt a bit weird. And I remember having this feeling of feeling like, this guy like would probably fuck anyone, and whatever friendship that I feel like I have with them as a couple would probably be traded for any amount of money. And since my wife and I have split, they have taken her to Hawaii and have fucked the daylights out of her. So I wasn't wrong.
Yeah. trust your gut instinct on that.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that was that weird feeling I was getting around you. It's that feeling of like, if anything ever happened between my wife and I, you guys would just be like, oh, cool. Another fucking cash out for us right here. And I remember like trying to talk to them a little bit afterwards when me and her were kind of splitting up, and just being like needing someone to talk to about something like this, because I don't have a lot of friends that understand what it's like to be in a couple and to be in this industry. And I thought that they were really good friends that I could be like, can I talk to someone? And they were kind of just like, oh, I don't want to get in the middle of it, this, that, and the other. Little did I know, they were already like networking with my wife to do a thing in Hawaii together. So I'm like, oh, of course you don't want to get in the middle of it when it means, you know what I mean? It's like, you want to get in the middle of it for money, for, you know what I mean?
That's real. Do you regret working with them?
Highly. Yeah. I would have, if I knew how I would have felt afterwards, I would have never done it. I remember like whenever we left the, their house in Las Vegas, like I've just felt so like dirty and gross. And like, I really wanted us to just have like time to just be cool and be people. Like I wanted us to just have I wanted us to sit in the hot tub just as friends and not film anything. But of course, like they brought the camera and the ring light and we all ate mushrooms. And so I felt a little less like able to just kind of like say no to things, or like, I didn't know how to like interpret things that I was feeling. And I was way more like ushy gushy go with the flow kind of thing. And that's when like, you know, like, it was so weird, because like also the thing that me and my wife wanted to do, if we ever worked with other people, this is what we said. We made a few deals with each other, right? The first one was, no matter how much money we make at this, it doesn't fucking matter. No amount of money matters more than us. This matters more. So if this starts to become toxic to either of us, it's gone. We cut it with a freaking like salami sword. It's done. You know what I mean? And if we're deep in it and we got all these like financial dependencies, we figure out how to get out. You know what I mean?
Right.
We'll have to work hard, and it might take a little bit of time. If it takes us 4 years to become dependent on it, it might take us 4 years to get out, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
And that was one of the deals we made. And the other deal that we made was that if we work with other people, that we want to both have the same experiences. So we don't do anything with anyone that's not willing to do it with us. So if And that's not to like try to get other people to compromise on their boundaries. It's just to say that's our boundary. So if you're not willing to go down on both of us, then you're not going to go down on either of us. And if you're not willing for both of us to go down on you, and if both of us don't, if either of us don't want to go down on you, neither of us go down. You know what I mean? It's like a mutual thing. It's like, we are going to be one person if we fuck other people, in a sense. So, you know what I mean? And that was kind of the deal, and that was just never the deal with Jack and Jill. They both went down on my wife. My wife went down on both of them. Neither of them interacted with me. Oh, and
that's real.
Yeah. And the first time we ever camped with them, it was like this like crazy experience, because like we had this like idea to kind of tease the audience and thinking we were doing a swap where like Jill will be like kind of on my lap and Sarah will be at Jack's lap. Mm-hmm. That was her. I almost used her real name. Whatever. And so that was going to be like the case. And then, so like Sarah was at his lap and Jill's at mine. And I just like didn't get hard immediately, because like, I'm kind of like, you know, like put it in soft, it'll get hard in your mouth. Like it'll be fine. But that's just not the way that they interacted, Jack and Jill. So that's not what she did. She's like, you're not hard. I'm going over here to this guy. And so now I'm just like sitting here by myself while my wife and his wife are both at his knees. And my heart was just like,
yeah, that's a lot. So,
it was, and it was live. It was the beginning of the stream that had to last like 45 minutes.
And you're like, wow, it's just not putting a good song. Like, that's not.
Talk about hell. Yeah. And so like, yeah, I don't know. Like having that experience. Yeah. I don't know. They that kept going, where it was like, they would do things with her that they wouldn't do with me. And that night in the hot tub on the mushrooms, that was the same kind of deal. Like my wife, you know, went down on me, finished me off, and then they both kind of like went for Jack. Yeah. And I didn't feel like I could say no to certain things, and so like it was just like, yeah, sure,
of course. It feels like, you know,
yeah she was like, can I taste his cum? And I was like, of course you can, because I felt like this is being recorded. Yeah. I can't make it be bad,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because like this could be worth so much money if it goes well.
Yeah, exactly.
Just say yes, it could make so much money.
Yeah. And that just goes to show too, like with what you're telling, what I've been through, not as much as you have with the couple thing, but when you go into this, you don't think about that at all. You don't think about, you know, if you're going strong, you're strong. You don't think anything's going to break you. But let me tell you, it does, just from hearing you, like shit like that. It's crazy. Did that really break you guys up after that point?
So that definitely got a spark going in my brain of just being like, I don't know what to think or feel. I remember that car ride home kind of being a little bit awkward. Driving to Portland from Vegas is long too. So it was like kind of weird. And I was undiagnosed BPD at the time. And I hadn't received any treatment or diagnosis yet. Actually, I don't think I was diagnosed yet. Certainly hadn't received treatment.
Right.
And I didn't really know I didn't have the tools to just even say something like, I feel elevated right now. And I don't have the words to describe how I feel. And I just want to do something that makes me feel grounded or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's very complex, and everyone's feelings are very complex. Yeah, you don't have to have a personality disorder.
So I get that.
Yeah. So I was very much just like either shut down or attack or just kind of like bottle it up and like say that everything is okay. And then like internalize things and feel bad about it, and then say that this is what I deserve and this is what I want. Like, because if all I want is nothing that can hurt me, then I won't feel this hurt right now. So I'm going to tell you that what I want is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like minimize the things that you think you want or need, because if you have less that can hurt you, then you won't feel the things that you're feeling right now. And it's all about like being like, this is how I feel. I don't want to feel it. Solution. Ixnay on the everything day.
Yep. You know? Exactly. That's how it goes. It really is. So after that, you went home. How was it? Like, what did you do next? Like, were you still into getting everything?
Yeah. So yeah, we were still going at it. We were still doing all the things. It was a weird tapering thing. So like we ended up moving to this like big bougie, like corner, top floor, waterfront apartment. Nice. And it was gorgeous and amazing, and it felt very luxurious, and like we had a lot of success.
Nice.
And our expenses went up really high, so we had become really dependent on things. And it's really hard to say, like, oh, this is the thing that like made everything fall apart. Because like, honestly, I just feel like if I just never brought it into our house, it never would have done anything. But like, it's crazy how like, when, how do I say this? Like, it was like the constant validation, or you could call it validation. I would call it like a fake, like validation that you get when you're camming from people who are just going to like agree with you, because they want you to feel, they want to feel like, if you're a cam girl and you're complaining about something and I say, you're right, fuck that shit. You're going to feel like you've got people on your side and you're like, yeah, fuck that shit. These are all the people in my corner. There's thousands of people who agree with me, so I must be right. And I deserve this and that. And then they tell me what I deserve and they give me things that I deserve. And I put something on the wish list and they get it for me. If I just say like, oh, I would love to have this, and they get it for me, it builds up the sense of what you feel like you deserve. Yeah. It builds up the sense of your value, because you inflate your own value, because you're like, oh, all I have to do is this and people give me money for it. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember even like my wife saying she did not want to go back to work, because after the pandemic was kind of clearing up and they're asking people back, the clinic that she worked at was like, we would like you back. And she turned it down. She said straight up that she's like, I'm not getting paid what I'm worth. You know, I work harder than what I'm making. And when she started becoming a doctor, she did not do it because she was like, you know what, I bet will happen. I bet that I'll get paid what I'm worth. She didn't even have that thought or like logic or idea of getting paid what you're worth wasn't even in her head. She went down that road because she didn't wanted to help people, and she never wanted people to feel the way that she felt.
Yeah. And after being in porn and on Chatterbait, it totally changed how she was.
Yeah. And so like, we got to a point where we just couldn't have conversations about anything. Mm-hmm. I couldn't talk to her about something if it meant, like, I couldn't talk to her about my feelings if my feelings were negative about her. If I felt like, oh, I feel like you should do this thing. Mm-hmm. No, it was not on the table. I got diagnosed with BPD in like 2021, and I started going through treatment at the end of that year. And it was like, it felt like there was a microscope on me. Like there was so much focus on me and my problems and mm-hmm. on the issues that I'm bringing to the table that are dysfunctional. And it felt so much like it was just like, oh, let's look into BPD. And it's a serious disorder, and some people who have it really bad can be violent and dangerous and abusive. And that wasn't the way that I was, you know, like I was like abusive towards myself. Like I used to cut myself when I was a teenager. Yeah. And then during our porn career, I started like bringing back some childhood, like regression and aggressive behaviors. Like if we were in a conversation and she was felt like she wasn't listening, I would just like stomp and smash my hands. And I remember once I was holding a mug when I did that, and I slammed it on the ground and it broke while we were walking outside. And like, I've slammed my head into the ground and into walls, trying to like, just be like, you're not listening to me. Like I like couldn't like take it, you know? And like, and I just couldn't be heard. And I couldn't just like say, like, I'm not saying you're bad. It was almost like any time that I was like, hey, like this thing you did or said, like hurt my feelings. It was like, she heard me say like, hey, listen, you're the worst person that's ever lived. And that includes Genghis Khan and Adolf Hitler and Ted Bundy. You're worse than all of them combined. You deserve eternal death and damnation. No one should talk to you or be your friend. And we should just hang you naked and inside out from the top of the building and project it onto the walls of every living room in America and the world, and the universe, and fuck you forever. It's like, okay, that's not what I said. Like, but like, then it was just like open season for her to talk about my feelings or her feelings of the things that I was doing to make her upset.
Right. So it kind of just turned everything around for you guys. You never thought it'd go that way, did you, ever?
No, I didn't. I certainly didn't.
No, and that's a good thing to say to anybody that's listening as a cam girl or a couple. Like, you need to think about that before you go into it, because it destroyed my relationship as well. I couldn't do it. Yeah. Yep. We were on stream for only like 3 months though on Chatterbait, and we made bank every night. And like, I just couldn't even look at him the same way anymore. Like, it totally changed everything. And you're right about the money thing. Like, it totally, like, you just like the bing, bing, bing from the tokens, you know?
I wouldn't be surprised if she said that she couldn't look at me the same way either. And probably for a variety of reasons. I'm sure part of it was like, one of the things that I was kind of getting at was that I was like, I can't get your attention. I can't get from you what other people can get from you, because I don't have money to give you. That's like the money that we have is the money we make from this job. Yeah. And you are like, you like, don't want my, I like, can't get your attention. And you'll take theirs because they'll give you money if you give it to them.
And that's a problem. That's the same thing that my ex said to me. Same.
Yeah. And literally like I remember there's once where she was like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be on until 11. And then like right around like 10:50, she was like, I need to do this private. Someone's going to do a private with me. She was on a private for 3 hours after that. She was on until like 1 o'clock in the morning. And she was like abusing her body with a dildo and doing things that like she fucking gave herself BV. Like she's done this like multiple for like a year. Like it wasn't just like, oh, one and done.
Right.
It was like for a year. And like she would go into these. So first of all, she was using our common space, our living room, which was attached to our kitchen, which meant that I couldn't really do anything in there because I had so much courtesy towards this career and job that I was like, I don't want to throw you off. I don't want the users to have this weird experience. I want the users to have the most authentic experience possible so that they give you money and so that they like you and so they like coming to this channel and they'll become regulars. I want you to have a good, I wanted it all to work out for everyone, right? I had so much courtesy towards it. But then I got to the point where I was like, okay, I can't be in my kitchen or living room for hours. And then when you're done, I have to clean up all these lights and toys and lingerie. And then you're done with it. You don't want to fuck me. You don't want to look at me like that. You're done with it. And I have to like clean up your sex mess. And it doesn't feel very good for me. Yeah. And then I have to lock myself in another room and blast like TV in my headphones so I don't have to hear it for hours. Mm-hmm. Or I just have to not be home and be somewhere until you tell me you're done and I can come home, which is very anxiety, you know? Yeah. And so I got to the point where I was like, you got to do it in the bedroom, at least do it in the bedroom so that I can, you know, and then I would, and just keep me updated via text. Let me know if you're going to do a private. Every now and then she would text me and tell me she's doing a private, but sometimes she wouldn't tell me that she's doing a private. And then she would just, if I wasn't home, she never would text me. And I was like, you need to text me even if I'm not home, because I want to know what the odds are of me coming home to it is. And it was just like, oh, well, that impedes on my autonomy. So like, it's like I was crossing her boundaries by asking her to like do certain things in order to make this easier on me, because I wasn't trying to be this like little bitch boy of just like, my wife is like camming and I don't want other people to see her like that. Right. Like I wasn't trying to be that way.
Yeah.
And now that I think about that, I'm like, fuck that attitude. First of all, like I think people deserve to have something sacred in their relationships. And I think that if your partner wants to have parts of the relationship to be sacred and you don't respect that, or even agree, even if you're just like, I don't think that's sacred, so I don't want to do that. It's like, I take a hard look at who you're dating, who you're married to. And you know what I mean? Like, that's literally like, I can't even compare it to anything, because the audacity, right? To be like, I believe this part of our relationship to be sacred and I want it to remain sacred, or I want to bring it back to somewhere sacred. And your response is like, my boundaries first. I don't think you deserve to be in a relationship with someone. I think that you deserve to have the boundaries that you have, and that you then
your own thing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I totally understand that. Yeah. Cause like all the porn and stuff, it just pushed you to the end, like made you feel like the fucking odd man out. You know, it wasn't good for you.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like on camera, like when I was like camming, there's so many times where people like would just insult me or call me a scrub, or that often I was called a stunt cock. Because oh, you're just the stunt cock. And I'm like, okay. And so like, even like in real time, it's like, it does feel very dismissive and alienating, and being like, I don't feel like I belong here. And there's nothing you as my partner can say about that, because it's like, even if my partner is sitting there going like, I think that you're amazing and you do belong here, fuck them. It's like, your eyes are still glowing every single time someone calls you beautiful and tips you hundreds or what, you know what I mean? Like, as soon as they're like, oh, check your email, I bought you something off your wish list. And you're like, one of those, it would take like 100 times of you being like, you know what? Fuck them. And fuck Chatterbait, slams the laptop shut, starts making out with me on the couch and fucking the shit out of me with no cameras on at all. It's like one of those, like 100 of those would cancel out like one glowy look in your eye of someone else online telling you you're amazing, dropping you some money, and then you just eating it up.
Yeah. And that's the facade of porn. It's like when you sit here and you cam and you get the people like, oh, we want you to do this. Oh, we love you. We buy you this. It puts on so much false. Like, it's not your life. It becomes your life. It really does become your life. And you just, everything that you were is no longer. And a lot of times it's hard for people to get that back.
Yeah. I would be curious to see if it's possible to get back. I know for myself, I'm actively trying really hard. Like when I stopped doing it, I tried to bring it up to her, you know, and I said, we made that deal. Like, if this is toxic, pull the plug. I tried to bring that up and say, like, this is starting to feel toxic to me, and it's starting to feel toxic to our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to say it because I knew it wouldn't be received well. But I in my head, I was also thinking, and thirdly, I think it's toxic to you, mm-hmm. because I see how it's changing you and your ability to, like, have a conversation with me. Like, she used to be like, so, like, I remember one of the first things that she said, she was like scream crying this, like bawling, because it was at one of the first times I recommended us working with someone or like just talking about someone or anything. And she was like, I'm afraid that I won't be enough for you, and that you'll leave me and I'll just be stuck here with all these men on Chatterbait. And she said that through tears, like that. It felt like a very, very honest confession. It felt like the most honest thing ever. Yeah. That was the person that I married, was the person who was like, I don't want to be with them. Like, I just want to be with you. And I love you, you know, like that whole, like, call it clingy if you want to, but like that feeling of being like, no, you make me secure. There's a difference between being clingy clinging to what is good and what you need and what is love and what is true. And you know what I mean?
I do. Definitely.
And yeah. And it's like that grip of just being like, we got each other. You know, when we got married, we did a hand fasting ceremony. We held each other's hands, tied our hands together, and we walked through the woods back to our car. And that was how we got married. And that grip was the one that I was like, oh, this is like, it's like disappearing, because you're like, oh, well, it felt like she didn't respect me anymore, because it was like, if I had enough money on my, it was almost like I needed to have my own income.
Yeah. It turned into that because she got just so caught up in it. And it ends. The thing of it is, it does end someday. And it sucks that some people just get totally turned around and they're just not really anybody anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It got weird. Like when I stopped camming is whenever, like, I basically just kind of became a behind the scenes person, and mm-hmm. I was helping around with like editing and all this other stuff. And I considered it my full-time job dealing with the emotional kickback from her full-time job. And I was like, me processing this and allowing this to be a thing in our house is my job.
Hey, this is producer Gary. Sorry for interrupting the interview. Unfortunately, the rest of the audio got corrupted during rendering, so there is no rest of the interview, unfortunately. So I'm really sorry about that. We will have Maddie back on to, you know, discuss everything they were discussing. So I want to apologize. This is totally my fault, but I'm not going to let this happen again, because this is absurd. So again, I'm sorry about this. And tune in next week. We got someone on, and Maddie will be back. And Maddie, I apologize. So hope you enjoyed the show, and see you next time.